Beloved, look with me again at Romans 8, and I want to read the text that we looked at on Sunday. Romans 8. The text that we looked at on Sunday, and I trust that as we read it tonight, we're going to read it with fuller comprehension and fuller hearts than we did even on Sunday. And then I want to go through the prayer points that we have for tonight and then get to praying. Do this with me, though. Go back, actually a few verses, to verse 28. Let's start there, and then we'll read through the end of this chapter, and then we'll talk about the prayer points. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Look at these prayer points with me. And these come out of, you know, a discussion with the staff and also some interaction with you guys over the last couple of days on Sunday. So just take a look at them. And this is what we'll be about praying in just a moment. Number one, that we would feel the response intended by Paul when he wrote, what then shall we say to these things? And here's the point behind that. It needs to be more than just intellectual acknowledgement of facts. Okay? It is important for us to have our minds renewed. It is important for us to have our wills renewed. You know what else needs to be renewed? Our emotions. God gave them to us for a reason. They're to be used for His glory. It is not particularly holy to be stoic in your emotions. In fact, it's not holy at all. It's not. Your emotions need to be redeemed, just like mine need to be redeemed. And your passions need to be expended for that which you ought to be passionate about. And one thing you ought to be passionate about, is Christ. So it needs to be more than just an intellectual acknowledgement of the plan of redemption. That's not it. Pray instead that we would know the love and the heart of God in Christ toward us. The personal nature of God's sacrifice and love for us. That it would not be just some surface kind of thing. But we feel it deeply. We got to feel it deeply. Okay? Second, to that end, pray that we would not doubt, question, or merely examine God's love for us, but that we would embrace God's love for us. Pray that we would truly believe that as God's children, God's personal love for us is permanent and unchanging because it's rooted in His grace and not in our perfection. One of the things that I said Sunday that struck a chord with a lot of people was when I was talking about, you know, the accusers. We've got Satan, who's the accuser of the brethren. But in particular, what I said was, you know, some of us, we've got that voice in the back of our head, that voice, not the voice of conviction, not the voice of the Spirit of God, which is conviction that leads to repentance, but the voice of recrimination and accusation. That voice that continually tells us how really far we have fallen, how far short we continue to fall, how it is that God doesn't really love us as much as God just puts up with us kind of thing. When I said that, I can't tell you the numbers of people that said something to me about that, and many of them who said, I thought I was the only one that had that voice in the back of my head. You're not. So we need to pray and understand that God's love for us is rooted in His grace. It's always been rooted in His grace. It will continue to always be rooted in His grace. It has nothing to do with our perfection or our perfect keeping of the law. Now, that's not an excuse, again, to be lazy and loose in our living. That's not it. But the idea that somehow we have to wrest love from God by our merit is an absolute fallacy that will keep you enslaved. So we need to pray that that's not the case for us. Pray that we would be strengthened with this, with the power through His Spirit in our inner being to be able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and height and depth and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Third, that we would truly trust our sin that kept us separated from God has been paid for and dealt with. All of it. That means past, present, future, all paid for on Christ's head in our place on the cross. When we comprehend that fully as a people, we will be most comfortable in God's presence. When we comprehend that fully as a people, we will be most, and I'm not using comfortable with the sense of like lazy comfortable. That's not what I mean. We'll sense that we're most welcomed in God's presence. How about that? That's better than comfortable because you can have a bad connotation for that. Four, that we would live in the reality that God has justified us and that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And that this realization would lead to open and continuing repentance before the Lord and a real desire for obedience to the commands of Christ out of love for Him, knowing that Christ said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. The heart of that is this, that we as a body would seek to obey Christ out of love and no other motivation, but out of love, out of deep love for the one who has loved us, right? Christ said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. That's got to be the motivation. If it's anything else, it's an insufficient motivation, okay? If it's anything else, it's an insufficient motivation. It's got to be motivated. We've got to be motivated in our obedience by love. And the other thing about repentance is this. When we are absolutely confident that we truly have been justified and that God sees us as forgiven and that God is for us, and that God desires to rid us of sin as much as we want to be rid of sin, that is when we will be able, we will be free to come into the presence of God without posturing, without pretending to try to hide what God already sees. We'll be able to bring our sin fully into His presence as we would, you know, as my sons, I hope, would do with their father, with me, and say, look, I cannot beat this, but I know that you in me can. God, we got to kill this. That you would be able, that we would have the freedom to do that. Okay? Five. The God's love to us would stir up love from us in return. That's the whole, you know, dance that we were talking about on Sunday, right? God loves us first. We love Him in response. That it would stir up love from us in return, expressed in tangible ways. Okay? You who are married know that it's not enough to just say you love your spouse. It's got to be expressed in tangible ways, right? Right? Okay. Right. So, what does that look like? Well, I just put a few things down here. Vibrant, personal, and corporate worship. Okay, again, joy that is in you is joy that needs to find an expression. Again, I go back to like the whole thing of like when you first, you know, fell in love with the person that you married, you know, and you just couldn't stop talking about them. It wasn't even solicited. You'd be around people and they'd be sick of you because you'd be talking about that person all the time, right? I'm not saying that you make people sick of you because of Christ, but what I am saying is this. Real joy finds an outlet. It needs to find an outlet in our worship. Personal and corporate abiding, that we would abide in Christ. Personal and corporate holiness, the pursuit of holiness. Faithful and sacrificial giving. Faithful service from a right motive. Right ordering of our lives and of our homes, all that stuff. Okay, so love would result. Love, God's love to us would stir up love in us, or from us in return, and it would be tangible. It would be expressed. We'd see it. There'd be evidences of it. Sixth, that we would really believe and trust that God will graciously give us all things we need for life and godliness. God's not a miser. He's not holding back on us. If He's given us His Son, He'll give us everything that we need. And not only that, that He delights to do so. And that when we doubt God's delight in giving us everything that we need, we doubt His character. And we doubt the depth of His love shown in the giving of His Son. So pray that we would be confident in God's delight in giving us all things necessary for life and godliness. Seventh, that we would believe and therefore live. That we would believe that everything in our lives is perfectly orchestrated by God for our own good. Perfectly orchestrated for our own good, all of it. That Christ intercedes for us and sovereignly rules all things according to his will and also according to his steadfast love for us. That we would face the pressures that come with Christian living in a fallen world with an inward courage and strength and the sustaining love of Christ. That we would live victoriously and joyously in the love of Jesus Christ and rely fully on his intercession and his faithfulness to us as his people to enable us to persevere for the sake of his name. The idea of living in absolute dependence and confidence upon God who loves us and has given his son for us. And then 8, that God would graciously cause his words in Romans 8, verses 31 through 39, to bring forth lasting fruit in our lives. So that's what we're going to be praying about tonight. That's going to be the focus for tonight. So I want to encourage you to get in some groups. Try not to get in the same group every week. Try to mix it up a little bit so you get to pray with some different people in the body and share your experience of the Word of God together with different people in the body. So break into some groups. Talk about, you know, the impact of the message, how it, you know, affected you. And then maybe some specific areas in which you need prayer. And then pray about these points. And again, when you're done praying, you know, you can leave. You can continue to fellowship, whatever. But please do it like out in the vestibule so that you don't disrupt the brothers and sisters who are still in prayer. Okay? God bless you, brothers and sisters. Let's pray.